Yesterday when I was praying, actually it was a couple of days ago when I was praying, I really felt that God was giving me a word. And it was in my journaling, and I just written a question, like, what are you saying, God? Like, what are you saying? And he said quite a lot, actually, in the end. And when I went back over and looked at it, it was really clear that this part was not just for me, that this part was actually for you girls. And so I'm going to read it to you this morning. And so this is basically God's message to us. So I'm with you and will rescue you. I will bring you through whatever you face. Listen for my voice. Many other voices clamor for your attention, but my voice does not clamor. My voice is clear, still, calm. My voice speaks and whispers to your heart. I am the Lord who saves you. I have redeemed you, called you, anointed you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. My plan and my purpose will prevail. Step out in faith. Do not look to the right or to the left. Keep straight ahead. Set your face towards your destiny and move forward. I really believe that that is a word for City Life women. We need to know that God is our rescuer, our saviour, our redeemer. It's not a scripture at all. It's just a word of God to us. I am happy to photocopy it. I'm happy. I will put it up on our blog. But I want us to know that God is our saviour, that God is the one who calls us and redeems us. God is the one. And it's his voice that we listen to, his voice. So I'll leave that with you. If you want a copy of it, we can make copies. I can email it to you. There's all sorts of ways that if you want a copy of it. Well, week 5 of Breakthrough, hey? The Devoted. On Sunday, we had a tag team, and it was very, very hard to fit all the stuff we wanted to say into the 8 minutes that we were given. So you're going to get it this morning. The introduction is Acts 2:42, and it says that the apostles came together, and they spent all the disciples came together, and what does it say? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the Lord's Supper. They devoted themselves to prayer. And as we look at this, I begin to realize that when they devoted themselves. Oh, there's... I could just stop there. They devoted themselves. That's all we have to do. Devote ourselves. They devoted themselves. Nobody else had to do it for them. They did it for themselves. They made the effort. They didn't rely on what others were believing. They didn't rely on what others had done. They relied on what Jesus had done. And then they devoted themselves to hearing from the Word of God, meeting together, to prayer. And so I want to look at that. See, I can't do your stuff for you. I cannot do your devotional time with God for you every day. I know I'm flat out doing my own, okay? I can't do it for you, but you can do it for you. And I think that's the key. I can't be responsible for your life. I love you girls heaps, but I can't live your life for you. Only you can live your own life. And so they devoted themselves. See, I can love you, I can encourage you, I can empower you, but I cannot do it for you. We have to devote ourselves in the same way that you cannot do it for me. You can love and encourage and empower me, but you cannot live my life for me or devote my life to God. Only I can do that. And so we have to do it ourselves. And I guess we ask ourselves the question, what am I devoting myself to? Because the truth is we will devote ourselves to something. We will devote ourselves to something. And so what are we devoting ourselves to? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be given to you. All the things that we need for living life will be given to us if we seek first the kingdom of God. Are we devoting ourselves to the kingdom of God? Romans 12:1-2 says, So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Depending on what translation you have, that might be worded a bit differently. But the basis of that is we are to make a decision to live differently to the accepted norms of our world. We are to devote ourselves to something different to what the world devotes itself. A few weeks ago, we looked at holiness and we talked about how we needed to be devoted in making decisions for holiness. We need to make a decision for holiness. And it talks about, you know, not even a hint of sexual immorality or of lying or of cheating or of horrible words and bad language and all of those kinds of things. We need to change and be different. And so as I read through Acts 2, I think to myself, what was it that the apostles were actually teaching? Because if you're going to devote yourself to these things, we have to think about what they actually were. And I decided that what the apostles were actually teaching was who Jesus was, and what he did, and what he taught. It's all those red books in your Bible, if you've got the words of Jesus in red. That's what they taught. They also used the Old Testament scriptures to teach. Peter, in his dissertation in Acts chapter 2, if you read through that, he quotes Joel. And he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. This is the fulfillment. Pentecost is the fulfillment of that scripture. Later on, he was talking and he says in Acts 3:9, he's again using scripture. He's using Psalm 16, and you can read it for yourselves later, Psalm 16, 8 to 11. It's a psalm of David, but it talks about how his beloved one would not see decay, and it's a prophecy about Jesus rising from the dead. And Peter uses that to say to people, this is who Jesus was. This is what he's done. And in fact, this is who Jesus is, because he has risen and has made that sacrifice for our lives. So they taught what Jesus said, what Jesus did, and how to live their life according to that. Later they wrote the Gospels, and there was a really strong emphasis on God's word. If you read through the Gospels, Matthew particularly often quotes Old Testament scriptures. And then if you read through the letters that the apostles wrote later on, there are so many references. How many times does Paul say, it is written in the scriptures? It is written in the scriptures. He is quoting the scriptures all the time. This is what they were devoting themselves to when they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So, what do we have to do? And this is a bit of a précis of what I said on Sunday. If we're going to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, we have to place ourselves in a position where we hear the word. And you have all done that today. You have all made a decision today to come here and to connect with God and to reach out to God and to allow God to speak to your heart. You have placed yourself in a position. Congratulations. You have placed yourself in a position to hear the word. We need to prepare and open our hearts to take notice of what's been said. What do we do before we come to hear the word? What's going on in our lives? Prepare to open our hearts. If we're going to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, we also need to search the scriptures. I've got lots of little mini points today, but we need to search the scriptures. We need to check out a couple of things. You girls need to check the scriptures to make sure that what I'm saying is right. That's really important. You need to check the scriptures to make sure that what I'm saying is right. We need to have a daily habit of time with God. It's called a devotional because we're meant to be devoting ourselves to God. And on Sunday, I made the comment that if we're making that just a really short time, it's probably more like a takeaway meal rather than a sitting down in the presence of God meal. And we need to be sitting down in the presence of God. God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. And he said, if you do this, if you meditate on my word day and night, if you don't let this book of the law depart from your lips, if you do what it says, then you will have success. I want success. I mean, who doesn't want success? But it's about doing and meditating on the word of God. On Sunday, I used a football example about having all the gear, but having all the gear doesn't make me a footballer. In fact, I've got lots of Bibles. In fact, I bought another couple through the week, different translations. I've got lots of different Bibles. They're great and I love them, but it's not about what they look like. It's not about the colour of your Bible. Having a great Bible with colour on it's great. I mean, I like them as well. But it's not about the colour of your Bible. Because the important thing is what's inside your Bible. It's the Word of God that is in there. That's the important thing. So we need to search the Scriptures for ourselves. The Bereans, when Paul went to Berea, it says that they were more honorable than the Thessalonians because they searched the Scriptures to make sure that what Paul was saying was right. And I think that's a really good example for us to have. Let's be honorable women and search the Scriptures. It's the same with our journals. I like having nice journals, but if I'm not writing in it, then it's just a book of blank bits of paper. Okay? So let's really be devoted to this kind of stuff. Let's make an effort. And I know we do that all in different ways. And some of us like to write lots, and some of us like to write less. I'm on the less end. Sometimes I write more, but I like to just write down what the Scripture is that I'm reading and what I believe the main points of that are, and then what I think God is saying. And it's usually just something that he's wanting to talk to my heart about. Sometimes it's a longer thing, like the message that he wanted me to pass on to you girls. But when we do it, let's be really listening and hearing God in that. And the third thing, of course, for devoting ourselves is to do what the Word says. I mean, I think that's a bit of a no-brainer in the end. I say that all the time. Reading, it's great. We need to read it and understand it. We need to look at it. But we need to make changes in the way we live if we're going to be devoted to the Word. We need to ask ourselves a question. What am I doing to devote myself to the Apostles' teaching? And then what changes do I need? What changes do I need to make to devote myself to the Word of God? What changes do I need to make? And then do them. Just do them. Make those changes. Just do it. On Sunday night, Andrew had a great Nike ad. Do you remember the Nike ad? Just do it. Yeah. And he made the point that they're just doing it. Actually had a lot of hard work behind it. But you just do it. You just do it. The second thing that we devote ourselves to is we devote ourselves to fellowship. Now, I have included a couple of different parts of fellowship in this because it says that we also devote ourselves to the Lord's Supper. And I've included that as fellowship because the Lord's Supper is fellowship with Jesus. But they devoted themselves to fellowship. And I've defined fellowship as meeting together for the purpose of encouraging one another. Meeting together for the purpose of encouraging one another. Fellowship is about doing life together. Fellowship is about grabbing some of your girlfriends, getting together, doing something together, encouraging one another for the kingdom of God. Fellowship is about going to your life group every week or every fortnight, depending on how your life group meets. Fellowship is about doing the hard yards together so that we don't have to do them alone. Honestly, girls, our life groups are about fellowship. They're about a lot of stuff. They're about discipleship. They're about accountability. But they come out of fellowship together, that time together. Hebrews 10:23-25 says this, "Let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promise." Don't you love that? We can trust God to keep his promise. "Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer." I think that's a great description of what fellowship should be about. Let's meet together. Let's not get into the habit of not meeting together. Let's make sure we meet together at church and through the week in our life groups with our friends, getting together for fellowship, because fellowship is where we do life together. We can encourage each other in the Word. We can encourage each other when we're struggling. We can pray for each other. We can be accountable to each other. We can help each other. And that's what real fellowship is about. And like I said before, fellowship and the Lord's Supper are related. You might call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist or communion, or I just like the term the Lord's Supper because it's, I love the idea that a lot of fellowship happens around food. Now, like Adrian said on Sunday morning, if you were there, it's not just around a cup of tea and biscuits at the back of the church where you have a chat. I'm talking about real deep fellowship where around food, you relate really deeply to one another and you talk about the real life issues. And when we come to communion, we come around what we call the Lord's Supper to relate to Jesus and to relate to God in a deep and meaningful way where he can speak into our lives, where we can confess our sins to him. Obviously, we can confess our sins at other times other than communion, but I think it's a really powerful way of saying, God, I want to make sure that I'm connected in fellowship with you through Jesus Christ. And as we come to communion, we can do those kinds of things. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we remember who Jesus is and what he did for us. It's about fellowship with God, and it is about that heart connection with God. In the New Testament, it often happened around a meal. But Paul says that we need to remember that when we're doing this, when we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we are proclaiming Jesus' death until he comes back again. That's a really, really important thing to be remembering. That's in 1 Corinthians 11:26, girls. He says we're to do these things to remember who Jesus is and what he did. And we're to do it with the right heart attitude. The right heart attitude is a heart that wants to connect with God. Jesus said in Matthew 26:26 that we're to do it in remembrance of him. Do you remember, if you read the story there, of the Last Supper that he had with his disciples, it was a meal, just an ordinary meal that he was having as part of the Passover with his disciples. And he says, he breaks some bread and he gets a cup of wine. He says, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. And he took them as symbols and he said, this is what I'm about to do for you. And whenever you have these things, remember me. Remember me. The Corinthians had got it a bit mixed up and Paul had to correct them. It was about remembering Jesus, not about having a big love feast and eating a lot of food and getting drunk, because that's what they were doing. We kind of think of it and go, oh my gosh. But that's not what it's about. It's about connecting together and connecting with God. So when we look at fellowship, that's what it is. And I think we can ask ourselves some questions. How am I encouraging others in their walk with God? How am I encouraging others in their walk with God? It's a funny thing, isn't it? But when we encourage others, we often receive encouragement back. And the reason for that is because we step out of ourselves to seek to do something for someone else. The other thing that I would ask here is, what do I need to do to devote myself to true fellowship with other believers? What do we need to do to take our fellowship with one another to that deeper level? That's what I like about life groups, because in our life groups, we can get to the nitty-gritty of what's going on in life. We can really encourage one another. We can challenge one another. We can say, hey, you're going great when things are going well. We can do that together, and that's true fellowship. The third thing that we need to do is to be devoted to prayer. We need to be devoted to prayer. Matthew 6:9-11, our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. We need to be devoted to prayer and to who Jesus is and who God is, and to be praying that. The first thing we have to do in prayer is to acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. First and foremost, prayer is connecting with God. It is honoring God for who he is and for what he has done by spending time in his presence. Just sitting in the presence of God. Honoring him for who he is. I love the Psalms. One of my favorites is Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I am reading that, it just lifts my spirits, because it talks about who God is and about what God has done. It's a great psalm. I encourage you to read it, because it talks about things like, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him, and yet you made him a little lower than God. How awesome is that? We can seem so insignificant, but God has made us incredibly. But it's about God being who God is. And that's why when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done. Because it's all about who God is and about what his will and what his purpose for our lives are. The second thing when it comes to prayer, and if we're devoted to prayer, is to learn to pray what God's will is. In this, girls, I'm not talking about the fatalistic, oh, God's will be done, doesn't matter, God's will be done. No, that's not how the Christian life works. We are to pray God's will, but we are to know what God's will is. And that's why being devoted to the Word and to the apostles' preaching is really important. Because when we're devoted to the Word, then we know what God's will is from His Word. There's lots of things that are God's will. God's will for the salvation of people. We know that God wants all to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So when we're praying for our friends and we're praying for salvation for our friends, that they would come to know Jesus, we're praying the will of God. We need to pray the will of God. The sick to be healed, the blind to see, the lame to walk. We know from the Gospels that Jesus healed these people, that Jesus desired healing and wholeness. And part of him dying on the cross and his body being broken was that so all our diseases and sicknesses could be taken on by him and not by us. So we know when we're praying for the healing of someone that we're praying in the will of God. We know from Corinthians that God wants to give us an abundance for every good work. So when we're praying because we've got financial difficulties, we can pray an abundance for every good work. Not an abundance for ourselves, but an abundance for the will of God to be done, an abundance to go out and do good. We know that we're praying in the will of God. We need to devote ourselves to these things, to devote ourselves to praying the will of God. I think one of the most important things we need to understand is that God wants us to understand who He is, and we need to ask for that, that we would understand who He is. What area of your life do you need to bring into line with God's will? What area of my life do I need to bring into line with God's will? And what and who are we praying for? What and who are we praying for? I say what and who because we should be praying for the whos. We should also be praying for the whats. Because after it is your kingdom come, your will be done, it says, give us this day our daily bread. And that is a model for us to be praying for the needs that we have. God wants us to have a fulfilling life. He wants to give us the needs that we have. But let's get the focus right first and focus on God and then on those needs. Seek God's will for your life. Pray scripture over your life and over the lives of others. I love praying scripture over the lives of other people. Heather talked about it when at the house builders meetings a couple of months ago. Grab some of the prayers that are at the beginning of the Gospels, at the beginning of the letters, and pray them. Just pray them. Joe, can I just grab your Bible for a minute? I've got all my scriptures on my tablet there. So, see, if we look up Colossians, if you turn to Colossians, if you've got your Bibles there, girls, here's a great prayer that Paul prays. Sorry about that, Rach. Just made a lovely loud noise up here. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, this is what the scripture says. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That is a great prayer that Paul was praying for the Colossians. So what do we do with that? How would we change that? Well, we can just say, Father, I pray that, now if you're praying it for yourself, Father, I pray that I will be filled with the knowledge of your will and that I will have spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's as easy as that. What about if we're praying it for our friends? Father, I pray, Father, that the girls in my life group will know what it is that you want them to do, that they will have spiritual wisdom and understanding. You might want to pray for your friends. Maybe things are tough. Father, I pray that my friend will be strengthened with your power according to your glorious might, that they will have patience and endurance. See, we can take what is in the scriptures and we can pray them. And we can take any of those prayers that are written, any of the scriptures. There's scriptures that are talking about life and it belongs here, doesn't it? There's scriptures talking about life and about faith and about hope And we can just personalize them in our own prayers for our friends and be devoted to it. It's often easier to pray like that when you've got something structured that you can actually pray for. And just go for it. Just go for it. The prayer of Jabez is another great one. If you read that in 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9, it's a really great prayer. It talks about blessing. It talks about increasing in territory, which is increasing in gifts. You can pray for the talents and the leadership and the whatever it is that you're praying for your friend, that they would increase in that area. Then it says that God's hand would be upon people. We can pray that God's hand would be upon people. And there's so much stuff in Scripture that we can actually pray for people, but let's be devoted to it. Ooh. Here we are. Don't get all caught up in prayer, by the way, girls. Don't get caught up in having to say really long words, really fancy words. Don't worry about it. Prayer is conversation with God. Yeah, it's not just a list, but it's just conversation with God. It's developing a sense of the presence of God. It's listening to God. It's seeking his answers in your situation. So don't get all caught up in, oh gosh, what is prayer? Because we don't have to. We just have to come to God and talk to him about what's going on in our lives and in the lives of other people. And the third thing I want to say about prayer, and we've touched on it already, is that prayer is seeking God for other people. Prayer is seeking God for other people. Ephesians 6:18. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. Pray also for me, that God would give me a message when I'm ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel secret. Again, this is Paul talking, and he's saying, some translations say pray without ceasing. We had a conversation about how you can pray without ceasing when so much seems to have to be done in life. But have that presence of God with you wherever you go and whatever you do. What does it say here though? Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. Keep alert, never give up. So don't give up in your prayer. Just keep on going with it. Pray for all God's people. And then he says, and pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders that they'll actually be able to do what God's called them to do. Paul was called to preach the gospel. So he's asking that he'll be able to do it boldly. But what is it that the people in your life are called to do? Pray for them that they will be able to do the will of God in their lives. See, we are to pray for others. We're to pray for our leaders and not to ridicule them. This includes our political leaders. We just love ridiculing our political leaders in Australia, don't we? And sometimes it's really funny and some skits can be, you know, quite clever. And I don't have a problem with a lot of that stuff, but I think we have to be really, really careful that we don't spend a lot of our time bagging out our political leaders because they have a very difficult job and I wouldn't like to have to do it. So why don't we pray for them instead of bagging them out? Like, if we prayed for them, maybe they'd be able to make their decisions a little bit easier and they wouldn't have to be fighting all the way. And maybe the decisions they were making might be better for our country. So why don't we pray for them instead of ridiculing them? 1 Timothy 2, 1-4 says, first of all then, I urge that petitions, prayers, requests, and thanksgiving be offered to God for all people, for kings, and all others who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life with all reverence toward God and with proper conduct. This is good, and it pleases God our Saviour, who wants everyone, everywhere, to be saved and to come to know the truth. When we devote ourselves to prayer, we do so, and we know that God hears us. Let's be praying for our leaders. Let's be praying for our governments. It says all people in authority. Let's be praying for them, because they need God's wisdom. Let's be praying for all the people. If you're at work, be praying for those people who are in management over you. Be praying for them. Be praying for them because a lot of what happens in your life will depend on what they do. Be praying for them. Be praying for them. The question I have here is, what do I need to do to devote myself to prayer? What personally do I need to do to devote myself to prayer? I think prayer is so, so important. And for me, one of the things that I've been working through with the breakthrough thing is to be upping the level of my prayer. making sure that I'm really connecting with God, making sure that I'm really honoring God when I'm praying, and not just launching into the list of all the great things that I want to pray for, but really honoring God for who He is, and really making sure that I'm spending quality time with God every day. Because it's so, so easy just to send up those quick little prayers and forget to really come and sit in His presence and devote ourselves to the process of prayer. And so today, girls, as we finish here, there's a couple of things that we're going to do. And I think there are some things here. What am I devoted to is a conclusion that I want us to ask. What am I devoted to? What am I devoted to? We asked it at the beginning and we ask it here at the end. What am I devoted to? We are to devote ourselves to God's word, to fellowship, to prayer. And the question is, will I choose to devote myself? Will I choose to devote myself? All of this is a choice. We choose whether or not we get into the apostles' teaching. We choose whether or not we read the word. We choose whether or not we devote ourselves to prayer and a fellowship. We choose it. It doesn't just happen. We choose it by a deliberate action and a deliberate decision. We choose it. So the question is, basically, will I do it? Will I choose to devote myself?